Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 says, "When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go in your inner room, close the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's pray. Dear Holy, Righteous Father, You are the only one who can be just and the justifier. You have stretched out and brought forth all things that we see and know. Thank You on top of it, Lord, that You have revealed who You are and Your intentions for man through Your Word. Lord, we are so grateful for what You have done for us, and that You have brought salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank You for the opportunity that we have to be here together at family camp. May You bless our camp, and may we continue to glorify You with our lives. Thank You again for this day. Be with each and one of us the rest of this weekend. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In verse 1, Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is heaven." And then He says, you know, don't pray like those hypocrites who want to be seen for their prayers. He says, they've received their reward in full. And that always stood out to me because it was like, what, 15 seconds of fame? Like, we are interested in our eternal reward in heaven, amen? Is that a little more valuable than 15 seconds of, this person looks righteous? And so it's in that context that Jesus says, okay, don't do that. Go in your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Okay? So Jesus mentions this because praying is not some tool to win the recognition of men. All right? I guess now that I say that, it would be kind of cool if we lived in a time and a place when praying publicly was cool, right? I mean, at least these guys, they were doing it for the wrong reason, right? But at least it drew, like, attention, and it was a good thing. Which, side note, I don't know how many of us noticed this, but the Supreme Court did make some interesting decisions lately, and those have kind of been brought up throughout the weekend. But one of the things they did was slowly break down that dividing barrier between church and state, and now your school teachers can pray publicly again. Did you guys know that? So now your football coaches aren't going to get fired. They're not supposed to be getting fired anymore when they go out to the 50-yard line and take a knee and pray with their team after the game. Okay? So, I don't know. Maybe that is God's plan. I don't know. But the point is Jesus is not opposed to public prayer. Right? It's the context. Right? These guys were doing it for the wrong reason. I mean, you just go read Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 15. Jesus prays publicly himself. And he asks the Father to bless the bread which he's about to break for thousands of people. So Jesus isn't opposed to public prayer. Okay? It's the context of what we're looking at here. So, you know, I started in verse 9 there. Pray then in this way. And so that's my message. Pray in this way. And that's how it fits with the camp theme. And as I was reading that, I was kind of wondering to myself, how many of you have that memorized and you're kind of saying it to yourself as we were going through it? Okay? I went to a denominational junior high. And we said this prayer 180 times a year. Okay, you got it. Because that's how many school days are in a year. Okay? And it became pretty meaningless. All right? So, when I was studying with Luke Wilson to become a Christian, I knew I had to start reading my Bible. And I didn't know where to start. So I went to Matthew chapter 5. Okay? Now, to my guilt, I started there because I just wanted to know what I was allowed to do and what I was allowed not to do as a Christian. And I don't know if you've looked over how the Sermon on the Mount starts recently, but it's a whole lot of Jesus is teaching on immorality. Jesus is teaching on anger. Jesus is teaching on idolatry. Jesus is teaching on other. It's a pretty good chapter of, hey, this is what you should do and should not do. And so that's where I started. Hey, side note, I bring that up. Aren't you thankful that that's not faith in Christ Jesus? We have freedom. Now, to my surprise, I finally made it through Matthew chapter 5 and made it into Matthew chapter 6. And guess what? Why are we praying that thing 180 times a year? Jesus says, pray in this way, but then don't use meaningless repetition. And there we are. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom cometh. You know. Close to 400 times in 2 years. And the denominational world has taken what Jesus gave as a template. And they turn it into meaningless repetition. Maybe some of your prayers have begun to become repetitious. I catch myself fighting against that. Maybe you guys pray like my 4-year-old. Dear God, thank you for mommy, for daddy, for Reagan, for grandma, for papa, for the church building, for nuggets, for Ethan, for mommy, for Reagan, for nuggets, for nuggets. In Jesus' name, amen. And I know it because there's 3 references to nuggets in every prayer. Pretty repetitious. Okay? Now, I know you guys pray better than that. And Ethan's not in the hot seat because he's 4. But I know that if I find myself fighting repetition in my prayers, that the majority of you might as well. Okay? Colossians says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Hey, we want to be thankful. Thank you, Jesus, for mommy, for daddy, for Reagan, for nuggets. We want to be thankful. And we are told to be thankful and devoted to it in our prayers. But there is so much more to prayer than just being thankful. And if I could pick on myself for a second, when I start to get repetition in my prayers, it's when I just say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus' name, amen. Oh, and help us have a good day. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven. And I was looking at this and I thought, boy, God's got a few names He uses for Himself, doesn't He? How about the beginning and the end? The Alpha and the Omega. Redeemer. Lord of hosts. I like that one. Almighty God. Lots of names. How is He addressed in Matthew chapter 6? As a father. That's not an accident. If you go over to Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 9, I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. Will he not give him a snake instead of a fish? Will he? Or if he asks for an egg, will he not give him a scorpion? Will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Hey, He's a Father. And He's addressed as the Father because He knows what we need. We just need ask. Okay? So I tell my kids all the time. So I tell the kids in the school, ask me something I can say yes to. Okay? You want 10 extra minutes for break today? Give me a good reason. Give me something I can say yes to. Look, our Father knows what we need. And He says, you just got to ask. We'll talk about that a little more. How important is it, do you think, then, that the children of God talk to their Father? Are we His children? Yeah. God is our Father. And I find that intriguing, because that's how He's chosen to reveal Himself to us. As a father. I actually had this conversation a week ago with a guy. Went to meet his father for the first time in Vietnam. Had never met him before. And he's close to my age. I think he's 39, 40 years old. And it's a little bit sad because he decided to do this because his father's health is failing. Okay? He's gone for 4 weeks. And he came back, and I asked him last week, I said, how did it go? And he said, you know, it was good, and I'm really glad that I went. He talked a lot about the culture, he has extended family there, and then he said what I knew was coming. He said, but with Dad, it was just weird. There was no relationship there. We've got to talk to our Father, brethren. Because if you don't, is there any relationship there? A lot of you are married. What if you never talk to your spouse? I mean, how long could you go before you just completely drifted away? Prayer is this open window of communication that we have with our creating God. I think a lot about the power of God that indwells the new creation, and that is powerful. But it is also mind-blowing to think that there is an open door of communication with our Father, the Lord God Almighty. How many people in this world don't have that? But you do. Do you use it? Is it thank you for chicken nuggets? Or is it, Lord God, I pray that your word would spread rapidly? How many people in this world have that kind of access? Jesus would say, fewer are those who find it. And I don't know how it was for you. I've been a Christian for 11 years. I've retained the majority of my memories from my immersion. I just found out from, I think it was Mike Cover. He said, yeah, you're still on Luke's PowerPoint. You know, so you Bozeman people have seen it. Okay. New creation. So I have a lot of those memories, but the one that is the strongest after the overwhelming just met 100 people in the church that I have never met before. I couldn't wait to get away from all of you. Because I wanted to go in my car by myself and pray to God. And He heard my prayer. Anybody else? Look, every one of us who are Christians has been outside of Christ at one point, time or another. And so I know a lot of you. And I've also worked with dozens of people, leading them to the Lord. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of like truth bombs that hit home. But when people realize God does not hear their prayers, that's a game changer for people. That was us. We have open communication with God Almighty. We got to use it. Pray then in this way. He is a heavenly Father with an open line. Talk to Him. Hallowed be your name. So of all these points tonight, and I'll continue to kind of use myself as an example here, but of all these points tonight, I think this is the one we could be better at collectively. Because I see it in myself. Why, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I still have the 400 repetitions, the thy, stuck in my head to this day. Why? Because in Jesus' example of pray in this way, there is a recognition of the position and power that God holds. Now, I mean, I wish I had just the right way to explain this, other than just consider the Psalms, right? Many of them are prayers. Oh Lord God, you have stretched forth the heavens. That is hallowed be thy name. That is an understanding and addressing of who God is in His position and His power. Okay? Psalms. Yeah. Plenty of examples. I mean, think about this from an earthly perspective for a moment. Alright? Okay. So, I've been a Christian for, I think, 11 years, and one of the first things that I plugged into was working with the youth. This is actually a funny story, and I'm really sad that Matthew Wilson isn't here to hear this, and he might disagree with some of this, but I've got his dad to back me up, okay? But I'm a 25, 26-year-old single, you know, Christian, and pretty zealous for the Lord, and I'm doing stewardships and Lord's Supper meditations. And so I get done one day, and, you know, I pray, and so Luke says, hey, just so you know, Matthew told me he thinks that you have the best prayers. Like, we looked at each other at the same time, and we knew instantly, no one doesn't have the best prayers. You know what it means? It means the kid looked up to me. He's like 14 years old, and he sees a guy 10 years or so ahead of him, Christian, doing what he wants to do, Nolan's got the best prayers, right? We know that's not true. So I was like, hey, the young guys look up to me. What should I do with that? I should go help the fellowship group on Friday night. And I should go help out at youth camp. So that's what I did. Now here's where the illustration starts to tie back into hallowed be thy name. Let's look at this from an earthly perspective for a moment, okay? So I'm 25, 26 years old, and I show up, and they got Mr. Tool on my name tag. That's my dad. You know, I'm too cool to be Mr. Tool. Okay? Hey, kids, just call me Nolan. Just call me Mr. Nolan. Okay? All right. Well, that was fun for 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. And then I got married at 30. Started having kids, and this will be my 8th year running the Christian school. Mr. Nolan does not work in my house, and Mr. Nolan certainly does not work in school. I am Mr. Tool. Now, it's funny because there are still kids here. It's no fault of theirs, okay? But they just were here during the era when I was Mr. Nolan, and they struggle to call me Mr. Tool. Even here at camp, twice now. Nolan, 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 turn around, you know, 16-year-old kid. I'm like, ah! Now look, that's not because I'm up here on some pedestal. You understand, I can't be Mr. Nolan and run a school. And I cannot be Mr. Nolan and run a family. And if that's my requirement on earth, what do you think about our Father in heaven? Hallowed be thy name. Lord, Lord, how majestic is your name. They even made a song out of it. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You guys are awesome. Pray then in this way. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our prayers must align with God's plan for man. I better read this one because I put it and I wrote it down. You don't have to pray with your eyes closed. Kids, if you're under 18, don't listen to me. Let me just handle something here real quick. We bow our heads, we fold our hands, we close our eyes because it's reverence and respect and humility. And if there's anything that prayer does, it puts you in a humble position before you approach the throne of grace. I close my eyes. But you go check out Nehemiah chapter 2. Never had his countenance fallen before King Artaxerxes. And he goes in there sad one day and the king says, "Hey, what's up with the frowny face?" And so Nehemiah answers them, right? Says, "It's just a little tough. You know, my people, they need help." You know what it says he does right before he answers the king? He prayed to God. And I don't think he was, okay, as a servant to the king, was like, "Excuse me for a moment." Okay, I got my answer. You ever prayed in your car? I do a lot of praying in the car between 7 and 7:05 every school morning. Sometimes we say things we're thinking and then they just kind of come out, you know? Aren't you thankful I don't close my eyes when I'm praying in my car? Okay. Hey, there is something to be said about going in your room, getting on your knee, closing your eyes, bowing yourself down physically and praying to God. My boy, you don't have to. Okay, now if you're under 18, you don't get to do any of that. Okay, because you know in school it's. Yeah. I'm serious, Mark, Luke, Caleb, yeah, Marshall. I've been in school for 8 years, and I have yet to have the heart to bust a kid who's not closing his eyes when he's praying because I had to have mine open to catch him. So I just have skirted the conversation. If you guys, Marshall, my man, if you guys have any wisdom, you let me know there. Okay?
You are Mr. Cool.
Ha ha! Yes! Okay, so I'm going to pray my prayer I wrote down. Remember, our prayers must align with God's plan for man. Amen? Okay? He says, "Your kingdom come," not "your kingdom." "Your will be done, O Lord," not "you." Okay? Your prayers must align with God's plan for man. Okay? So I wrote this one down, but I got to keep my eyes open. Okay. "Dear God, please let me live in Fiji." It gets better. "Fiji needs the gospel." Fiji needs the gospel. "I need crystal clear waters and thriving coral reefs." Amen. You guys get it. And does Fiji need the gospel? If that is you, praise the Lord. But I think you get the point. That's why I threw in the thriving coral reef, so you guys would get the point. Okay. James says, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motive, so that you can spend it on your pleasures." Now, I don't personally know of anybody going to Fiji right now, so I thought it was a safe example. Okay. But it's just interesting to me that there's crystal clear water and thriving coral reef, if that's your plan. Okay? God is our Father. He knows what we need before we even ask. He says, "You just got to ask," and then we ask, and then we don't get it. Hey, you got to ask with the right motives. You've got to ask for prayers that God can say yes to. Just like those school kids that want that 10 extra minutes of break or cross off that goal. Okay, you got to give me something I can say yes to. You think our Father is the same way? Think about the example I used early on. If you pray, "Lord, I pray that your word would spread rapidly," can He answer that prayer? Does He answer that prayer? Every time. Every time. 1 John chapter 5. James warns us to ask with the right motives. You know, Jesus' prayer was, "If you're willing, remove this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done." Okay? Jesus himself yielding God's plan for him into the hands of God and not his own will. First John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "This is the confidence that we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Do you believe that? If you ask in accordance with His will, He hears that. And if we know He hears, then whatever we ask, verse 15, we know that we have requests which He has asked from Him. We've got to ask for prayers that God can answer yes to. Okay? I mean, think about this. So, the one thing that Ethan does like to do, because you could imagine this, is he likes to wipe down the dinner table. And that's because he gets to stand on the dinner table. See, there's a little give and take here, and he gets to kind of crawl over it, and he does a really good job, okay? And so if Ethan comes up to me and says, "Dad, I wiped off the table. I'm headed into the living room to pick up my toys. If I do that, can I play outside until it's bedtime?" Yes! My man! You see? Like, what are you asking God for? Is it me, I? So you can serve your own pleasure? Lord, give me this. Are we supposed to ask? Absolutely. And that's kind of the next point here. But we have to ask with the right motives, brethren. And so that's why it's so great to incorporate Scripture into your prayers. You know, one of the things Mike Ferguson said to me when he was still in Billings, Mike, one of the things he said to me was, you know, because I'm like, I don't know how to pray, and Matthew thinks I can pray, and I don't know why he thinks that, so how do I pray? And I got some of the best praying advice from Mike Ferguson, okay? And he said, what I would do if I was you is I would just sit in the assembly and I would listen to other guys' prayer, and then I would find all the verses and pull them out of their prayers. Do you guys ever do that? When guys are up here praying, I mean, they're quoting Scripture. Okay? That's a really great way to make sure that your prayers align with God's will for your life. Right? Incorporate His will and His Word into your prayers. Jesus says, "Pray then in this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily chicken nuggets." Hey, we're supposed to ask, right? We are. Give us. It's not supposed to consume us. We're not supposed to worry about it. Tomorrow has enough worry for itself. But you get to ask. And the problem is sometimes we just forget to ask. I know I do. I want to look at this in Ephesians chapter 6, because this was the theme of Peaks, and I just thought this was so cool when I got my assignment here. So, give us this day our daily bread. Now, Jared Schaefer is going to get credit with this line, because he's been pounding it into the saints in Billings since I can remember. And he is known for saying that prayer should be our first resource and not a last resort. And you know what? As promised, using myself as an example, I catch myself using it as a last resort. And when I do catch myself, I feel so terrible. So I got this thing I need. I already tried it my own way. I already asked somebody else what they would do, and then I had plenty of time to worry about it. And then when those three didn't work, as if worrying about it does anything. Why do we do that? Then once I've tried those, then I pray to God. I mean, it happens, right? It's got to be our first resource, not a last resort. Jared Schaefer. So in Ephesians chapter 6, we got this chapter of be strong, verse 10, in the Lord and the strength of His might. I mean, you want to talk about a Peaks theme? In the strength of the Lord's might. Put on the full armor of God. Okay, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view, be on the alert with perseverance and petition for the saints. So we know we're supposed to pray, right? But what does petition mean? It means you're supposed to ask. And that, apparently, is pretty important when it comes to fighting as a resurrected army in this spiritual war. Hey, And before all of this technology stuff, and you do a little bit of your own research, I mean, to a large extent, wars were won and lost based on who could get the supplies in the fastest. Okay? Because if you want to take down Russia, you got to go into cold territory for a really long time. And if you don't get the blankets, okay, the hand warmers and the oatmeal, you're done. Petition. You need supplies. You need things like bread. You're supposed to ask. But I catch myself using it as a last resort, trying to fix my own problems. Man, how has that worked out for you recently? Let's go to the Lord first. First resource. James says, you don't have because you don't ask. And you know what? When we ask, I do not think we ask big enough. Joshua, chapter 10. Got to kind of speed it up here, but I get to write my own headings above my chapters. I really like my Bible for that reason. And I just wrote, Israel defeats five kings and many more. Okay? So, we've got Israel, and they're at war. And so, in Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 says, Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Ammonites before the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, O sun, stand still at Gibeon. O moon in the valley of Aijalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. It was not written in the book of Jashar. And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and it did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. Pretty cool prayer, huh? Hey, do you think, if you're on the right side of the prime meridian and it's the right time of the year, the sun could have... No. Joshua prayed and the Lord answered his prayer and that thing stood still. Okay. So, I don't find any particular advantage in the sun stopping today. I shouldn't have turned away. Maybe you guys help me out here. Why? Why do you ask for the sun to stop? Yeah. Until they rid themselves of their enemy. And so that got me thinking, okay, what about us? Joshua says, Lord, keep that thing up there to light the way so we can finish the plan that you have given us. And I thought, okay, well, I don't need the sun to stop, but should we be interested in our spiritual conquest? And should we be praying prayers to God to aid in that? We're engaged in spiritual warfare. We know it. You hear it every family camp. That should be our prayers. Look, James says, you don't have because you don't ask. You're trying to do it yourself. And you're just trying to worry yourself to death somehow. As a way to overcome your problems. Okay? And then when we do ask, we have to ask with the right motives and make sure they're in alignment with God's will for mankind. And then while we're asking, brethren, we have got to ask big. I mean like God stop the sun big. And it's so cool to me because, no, okay, I don't need the sun to stop. But Lord, ask that big, you guys. So that His will be carried out in your life, in your home congregations, and in Jesus' church around the world. Because those are prayers that God can answer. Those are prayers that God wants to answer. So I got a story here, and I want the story to come out the right way. Okay? So, my 6 years of marriage has been an up and down roller coaster ride of eating chicken and rice for a week, and eating tacos and burgers for a week. You know, family camp's hard for that. All right? It's been tacos and burgers so far. Okay? And chicken and rice and Tupperware, I mean, that's just... Yeah. props to you if you can do it. There are those people out there. Okay. So, I'm in one of those stretches. It's not chicken and rice, but you guys get the point, right? We're going to eat healthy. Where's Sam? Should I have to take the girl out? Okay. We're going to eat healthy, okay? So, I have, during the school year, usually something planned every day at 1 o'clock. And I just like it. School gets out at noon. I usually leave at 12:15. I'm home at 12:30. I grab whatever she's set aside, usually leftovers from the night before, chicken and rice. Scarf them down and then get to my 1 o'clock, right? So I'm in there and it's been a week long of chicken and rice. And I come home and I open the fridge and I go, there's no chicken and rice. Isn't that amazing how we can do that, guys? You know? I mean, we can't find our car keys that are dangling off our pocket, but we can see that deer that's 200 yards away. I don't know how we do that. So, I'm hungry. I have somewhere to be. There's no food. She forgot. We ran out. I don't know. I don't have time. I better go get a cheeseburger. I should have said chicken nuggets. So I get in the car, I talk myself into it, I'm driving down Broadwater, headed to Wendy's, and I said, I should pray. So I closed my eyes, and I was driving, And I just basically, you know, when I pray, I just kind of tell God what I'm thinking, which is usually, I have no clue what to do, honestly. Lord, I'm hungry. I'm not supposed to be eating cheeseburgers. And I think the thing that's killing me the most is cheeseburgers at Wendy's aren't exactly in the budget. That's why we eat leftover chicken and rice. And so that's when I knew, like, I'm not doing the thing I know I should be doing right now. Okay? And I don't think eating junior bacon cheeseburgers is a bad thing. It's just not what I committed to do in a commitment to my wife. And I want to honor that. And my prayer was answered right there. God, I'm doing what I shouldn't be doing. What do you think I should do? No? Yeah. Oh, okay. I shouldn't do it. So I turned around right in the middle of Broadwater, drove all the way home. What am I going to, you know what? And even when I was praying, I'm like, I can put a piece of turkey on bread. I have time for that. And I open the fridge, and guess what's sitting right there? The chicken and rice. But it was such a cool moment because I realized, like, how close I was to doing the wrong thing, all built on the justification train of there was no food, and now I come home, and it was there the whole time. Okay, now this is where I'm not going weird on you. It was there the whole time. But a simple 15-second prayer in the car was a game changer. Okay, so nobody cares about junior bacon cheeseburgers and chicken and rice. But you know what? Hey, do you think greater things are accomplished in the spiritual realm through prayer than chicken and rice? You bet. And I'm not even convinced today standing before you that I turned myself around on Broadwater because God even cared about chicken and rice. But it changed the way I looked at prayer and finally started moving it from a last resort to being a first resource. So many times. And the last piece I have to wedge in personally is when you come up to me and tell me how lousy your week was, and when you come up and tell me that grandma has a hole in her heart, we gotta pray right there! Why don't I do it? You guys come up to me every day and you're like, this is great. We should praise God. Yeah. You come up to me every day and you're like, this is lousy. Like, we should pray to God. And that's what I got to do. And I've been telling myself, if I start doing that to you in Billings, it's because I made a commitment to myself that I was going to start doing that. Because no longer can we let it be a last resort. Pray then. In this way. Pray big. Big. Like stuff you don't even think is possible. Can God deliver if it's His will? Absolutely. Pray then in this way, forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. I wish I had time to go into all of this. I don't. I mean, just look at verses 14 and 15. We didn't read these in opening, but Jesus says, pray in this way. Forgive us of our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And he actually goes on in verse 14. He says, for if you forgive others of their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I mean, are you interested in God's forgiveness? It's like, then you got to pray in that way. You have to forgive others daily. If you do not forgive, verse 15, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So it's not like I don't have a ton of time to unravel all of this. I am thankful for my topic because I probably have like the most like plain to the point topic of all the guys yet. Right. I mean, was it Mike that said I have a broad topic inside of a broad topic? OK, I mean, I got prayer. Right. So I don't have time to unpackage all of this. But forgiveness is an important component of it. OK, because if you're interested in God forgiving you, he says if we confess. OK, there's two sides to this, right? I mean, 1 John says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us. Right. So I'm kind of interested in that. Pretty important component, right? But the other part of this that's super important is if you don't forgive others, God ain't gonna forgive you. So we have to do that. Let's finish out Jesus's prayer here. And I think the point of the message today is, hey, let's just go through the example and figure out what we can learn from Jesus's example without turning it into meaningless repetition. Okay? You look at it and it's like he's a heavenly Father. I mean, I want to give my kids the world. I want to give them everything that I can give them that I think is good for them. You think our God wants that for us? He's like, if you being wicked, referring to the world, right? He says, if you being wicked know how to give good gifts to man, how do you think your Father knows what you need? Okay? And hallowed be His name. He is lofty and exalted and powerful and worthy of our praise. Okay, we got to ask in accordance with His will. And he goes on and he says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And man, I love how that ends. But if I could give you something to start to wrap up here, it's that the last part here, we're asking God. But it's also in accordance with His will, right? His kingdom comes, right? It's His kingdom, power and glory. And it just reminds me that this is a spiritual battle. Lead us not into temptation, spiritual battle. Deliver us from evil, spiritual in nature. Kingdom, spiritual. God's power and glory, spiritual. Forever. Amen. This is a spiritual battle, and we keep telling you because it's so easy to lose sight of it. So incorporate that into your prayers. The spiritual nature of the church, of the new creation, the Holy Spirit itself, and His will for the church on earth. It's a spiritual battle. And the battle is won and lost in the mind. Can you guys think of anything else that sharpens the mind better than prayer? And you can say, read your Bible. And you're right. But why don't you pray through your Bible reading? And I think that's a game changer. And I'm going to bring it up because I've been surprised lately, just in personal conversations, for how many people who haven't thought of it that way before. Maybe some of us today are... You know, even with people who aren't Christians that I talk to out in the world, they're like, I pray at night every night. You know, and that's a good time to pray. You're usually alone. And the majority of people do that, right? You've got a chance to think about your day, kind of process a little bit, get a good spiritual focus, right? And then we're also pretty good about praying for our food. And then from there, it's kind of like... I mean, Jesus prayed all night. Right? I've seen a lot of success in people's lives growing spiritually when they tie prayer into their Bible reading. And if that means you got to read less for the day, so you got time to pray afterwards, then you do it. But you want to talk about, this is a spiritual battle, and it's one up here. You want to sharpen this thing so you put yourself in a position where you can win prayer with the Word of God. I can't think of anything else better. Putting in good, 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 good spiritual thoughts. We'll close in Philippians 4. Some comments. Start in verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement, also the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I was reading this the day before we came up here, and I thought, that almost has all of the components of everything I just told you tonight. Did you see it? How cool is that? If you're anxious, don't be. And if you are, in everything, by prayer and supplication, what does supplication mean? It means petition. Well, supply me, supplication, petition, ask for. So we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to ask for, hey, there it is, with thanksgiving. Thank you for mommy, for daddy, for chicken nuggets, for mommy, for daddy, for chicken nuggets. We're supposed to be thankful. And it's an attitude of thanksgiving that is so important. He says, let your requests be made known to God. Look, God, peace of God surpasses all comprehension. Mike brought this up. Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Look, if you have time to worry, you have time to pray. And that is my last kind of just couple thoughts here with you, is because I have lots of time to worry because I do it all the time and I worry about everything. Look, if you're similar in any way and maybe just, you know, okay, that's kind of dramatic. Maybe you worry, but not as much as Mr. Nolan. You have time to pray. And if you think about this, worrying is pretty much like praying for the thing that you don't want to happen. If you think about it. Why do we do that? He says, be anxious for nothing. And by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, give it to God. And the God of peace will guard your heart. Is that a prayer God can answer? Is that according with His will? Think He wants to answer that for you? Yeah. Do you want that prayer answered? Pray it. Yeah. Look, this is my personal experience, but I'm not the first person that said this. But when people struggle, and I mean struggle, to where you kind of don't see them for a year, okay? The first thing that usually happens is they quit praying. Personal experience here. Okay? And working with people. Look, when people really, really struggle, the first thing that happens is they've already quit praying. And you give it a little bit of time, and then they quit reading their Bible. And then after a little bit of time after that, then you just don't see them anymore. Now, it's a sad thing to think about, but that should tell you Look, so many of us here make the assemblies. So many of us here read our Bibles. And it's good, and you should, but you can do that and still not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Prayer is essential in cementing that link. Okay? For those of us who are hitting the assemblies and who are reading our Bibles, let's make sure that we are praying daily. Jesus has given us an example, not so we can turn around and say it every day, so we can glean some things from it, look at how He prayed, and incorporate these things into our lives. Many of you guys knew my dad. Spiritual dude, great father, love him to death. And one of his favorite verses came from James chapter 5. And for the last 4 or 5 years, I heard him say it every single week because he was asking for your prayers. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much.